You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
At, what is he, 70 years old, and apparently he is...
still a stud muffin, huh?
You know, yet another in the growing roster of, as I said, heartthrobs of this generation. Wonderful for him, and how fortunate for us. We can see this film.
Very cool. All right. And what was the name of that again?
Excuse me. I'll see you in my dreams.
See you in my dreams. All right. So we got the... And that one, you can find it where? Typical Netflix?
It's already streaming, and I believe it's coming out on DVD in a couple of days.
Okay. Very good. And your pick of the week?
This is Sparrow's Dance from 2012. It's directed by Noah Bushnell. It is not rated. A common sense rating would be an R rating. And we have Maren Ireland and Paul Sparks. And this is a young woman who lives in New York City who has developed agoraphobia and hasn't been out of her apartment in a year or more. She lives on ordering takeout food, and she's watching old movies and lives in, you know, very isolated, obviously, existence. And this is changed when her toilet acts up and she is forced, despite her best efforts to rectify this by phone and so forth, to allow a plumber to come into her apartment and thus into her life. This is a gentle, this is a funny, well-observed movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead performances are remarkable, particularly Maren Ireland. She has to make, you know, a debilitating illness, if you will, believable. She has to engage us. She does that. Also, Paul Sparks as the plumber does equally well. This is a story about people finding each other and about love and adversity, and it's quite a gem, really. Mm-hmm. Quite nice. You know, we also get Coleman Hawkins and stuff like that. So it's really quite good, and people should seek this one out. It's on pay-per-view. It's streaming. People really should. And, you know, it's wonderful storytelling. You know, and we're not dealing with contrivances or gimmicks. All of that is really eschewed for really a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have here.
Agoraphobia, is that what you called it?
That's what it is. Yeah.
That is. A sickness of
that's a
what?
Fear of leaving, going, well, literally fear of the marketplace. Agoraphobics do not leave their homes, domiciles, stuff like that.
Okay. And is that, that's the disease that she, or the ill, sick,
that's the disorder that
disorder
she, has.
She possesses?
Correct.
And okay.
And then, you know, her, you know, how his, you know, arrival in her life.
Mm-hmm.
How that changes things and what it does, you know, and what it doesn't change and so forth.
Right.
It's a lovely little film. It really is.
Right. Reminds me of Finding Forrester. Right? Wasn't that the same situation?
Yeah, I suppose in a way. I would say for your listeners, you know, yeah, there's a certain similarity, but you should just, you know, judge this.
Well, it's a different quality, yeah. Film, but I'm just talking about the affliction.
And yeah, I understand your point. Yeah, there's a certain similarity, a very broad one, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a little bit out of my realm, I don't really meet many people that are agoraphobics.
Well, the fact that not many of us do. because of the nature of the disorder.
Yes, I just realized that when I said it. Thank you. Is it far-fetched to watch it? Is it hard to buy into it?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's one of the beauties of the film. It's not. It's not contrived. It's not. It's not far-fetched at all. And that's one of the strengths of the film.
Right. Neat.
You really understand. You want these characters and these people to do well. You want them to be happy, so to speak. That's one of the strengths of the film. That's one of the beauties of the film.
All right. Awesome. All right, so we got two good ones. So we're going to stay away from Man from U.N.C.L.E. until it gets...
As I said, you don't have to avoid it terribly, but, you know.
All right. Very good.
Don't go out of your way.
All right. And the other two, just give us the titles one more time.
I'll See You in My Dreams and Sparrow's Den.
Sparrow's Den. All right. There we got two good ones. All right. Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much. We got two good ones that we can go and check out, and we'll talk to you next Friday. For what's next for Labor Day, Labor Day weekend.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. All right, I'm going to go back and hide in my, and take in my agoraphobia, and I'll talk to you next week.
Next week.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's Mike. Mike at the Movies gives us three movies. You got three good ones there, and use his knowledge information to make sure you're taking care of your cinematic dollars. We'll be back with more of Good Morning Hunterdon in just a few minutes, and we'll be right after these messages.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We're fighting for a world with less cancer. Sometimes we take that fight to lawmakers. We tell them every American deserves access to quality health care and the chance to live and work smoke-free. That will mean more birthdays all around.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
The administration has even given millions to the terrorist group Hamas without apology. I'm Jason Wirt.
Rescuers are using sledgehammers to break through fallen concrete as they hunt for survivors of a powerful gas explosion.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts. You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your
USA
lifetime?
USA Headline News,
will
I'm
you
Ron
have enough
Taylor.
To live the life you want?
Action against
and
gun
when
violence
will you be able to retire?
Two murdered members
if
of a
so,
TV
you're not
in
alone.
Virginia. A lit
As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates
Parker
can help you find the answers with the
Virginia
exclusive
Attorney General
confidence.
Mark Herring said the pain and loss caused by gun violence has to stop.
We are going to need to come together because no family and no community should have to feel this kind of pain again.
A student is dead following last night's shooting on the campus of Savannah State University in Georgia. School officials say Christopher Starks of the Atlanta area died following an altercation in the student union. Grief counselors will be available at the historically black university today. Americans have an addiction to email. A new study from Adobe has put the obsession into numbers, finding some people spend as much as 30 hours per week sending and receiving email. Outside of work, 70% say they check email while watching TV, and more than 40% admit they take care of email correspondence while they're in the bathroom. This is USA Headline News.
It's here, Kohl's lowest prices of the season. Save big throughout the store. For the boys, their favorite tees, only $7.99. And colorful juniors camis, just $4.99. Find the lowest prices of the season on Jumping Beans tops and bottoms, $5.99 each. And on the Big One bath towel, just $2.99. Plus, graphic tees for him, $7.99. You'll get Kohl's cash, too. Don't miss Kohl's lowest prices of the season. It only happens twice a year, this Wednesday through Sunday. Find your yes, Kohl's. Select styles. See store at Kohl's.com for details.
I had Belvita breakfast biscuits this morning. Then what did I do? Made my bed, fed my fish, got dressed, cleaned the dish. Remembered to floss, but still didn't do it. Ran a lap on the track, dropped my phone, didn't crack. Got in before the boss, made sure that he knew it. Oh, hey, you just getting here?
Crunchy Belvita breakfast biscuits are made with delicious ingredients and carefully baked to release steady energy all morning long. Share your morning win. Belvita.
Morning win.
A woman who used to work at a Tallahassee TV station with Virginia shooter Vester Flanagan says she's still shaken by Monday's shooting. Nancy Dignan was a meteorologist who had a run-in with Flanagan 15 years ago.
It's probably the most difficult day and a half of my life, and you know, for a lot of other folks that I worked with, you know, it's a tough time, and it's tough to process all.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Well, good afternoon. Sorry, we're a little late on coming on today, but I'll follow up with a program on It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, your host. And just to give you an update on the weather, it's another beautiful day out there. And let's hope we have a beautiful weekend. Well, what's happening? Tonight, mostly clear, then there may be some patchy fog. Again, in the morning, patchy fog, but then mostly sunny. High of about 87 degrees, so it should be beautiful. And then on Saturday night, partly cloudy, but who cares? And on Sunday, we should have partly sunny, depending on where you are, both Sunday and Monday. Partly sunny, and then by Tuesday it should be mostly sunny. Doesn't look like we have rain in the forecast, so if you need rain, looks like you're going to have to water. So the program, It's the Law. I'm your host, Pat Smits, and just to bring you up to date, we're going to be talking about some of the legal issues, but I also wanted to tell you about a couple of the things that are going to be happening in Hunterdon that I think people would enjoy. If you have children, or even if you don't have children, Think about the plowing match that's going to take place at Howell Living History Farm. If you've never been at the Howell Living History Farm, you really should do take an opportunity to go there. Take kids there. I was there a few weeks ago. There was a volunteer effort to pick potatoes. They had planted potatoes earlier. We had planted potatoes. Many of us helped. And earlier in the spring, and now they were plowed up. And it was really delightful to see the children going through the field after the horse had horse and a plow had plowed up the potatoes, and they were going through the fields and picking them. And it was really delightful to see the children and some of their expressions, and then they all had an opportunity to take a potato and get fried potato chips. So that was really fun. So if you don't know about Howell Living History Farm, it's part of Mercer County Park Commission. It's just south of Lambertville on Route 29. It's off of Lambertville. It's off of 29. It's a left turn just south of the flea market, just as you get into Hopewell Township near the workhouse, not the workhorse. I'm looking at workhorses here. But in any event, that's going to be Saturday on September 5th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There is a rain date, September 12th, and there will be a professional plowing competition and horses and farmers from the area and Pennsylvania come in, and they have beautiful horses, and they actually have a plowing competition. And then there will be ox plowing, and actually there are visitor plowing events, so you can try your hand at plowing, which is fun. And then at the in the afternoon, there's an obstacle course competition. But this is something really worthwhile, and our neighbors in Mercer County, they don't make sure that we're from Mercer County. So it's a great place to take kids, free, no charge. And so if you have never been to Howell Living Farm, if you can't make it on the 5th, go another time, because it's really, there's always a lot of things going on there. So a couple other things that I wanted to have people mark your calendar, and this is law related. And the reason I say it's law related is it's a benefit for the Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County, and it's going to be a Rat Pack Gala on Thursday, November 12th, and it's from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Grand Colonial. And I know there'll be many more announcements about this. It's going to honor our very own Honorable Stephen B. Rubin. If you know Judge Rubin, he's recently retired. It'll be honoring Judge Rubin and Robert Stephenson. So there'll be a cocktail, dinner party, cash bar, and what's going to be fun is you can either have your attire Rat Pack groovy or business cocktail. So in any event, think of supporting Crime Stoppers. It's a great organization, and if you don't know anything about it, find out about Crime Stoppers. I've had guests on my program, and I'll have guests again to talk about it. It's a volunteer, nonprofit, 501c3 organization, and frankly, they offer cash rewards for tips leading to the arrest or indictment of persons involved in a crime. And it's been very successful, and so it's something that, you know, good kind of event to attend. And there's also some Al-Anon and Alateen groups being offered Mondays at 8 p.m. at the Clinton Presbyterian Church. And so I would suggest any families who have an interest in Al-Anon or Alateen to, you know, check into this. And the best place to, I'm trying to see if where they're, I'm trying to see whether or not there's, I do have someone. First of all, it's for children ages 13 to 18. And however, the you can either get the information at nj.al-anon.org or by calling Pastor Tracy Henry at the Clinton Presbyterian Church directly. And anyone knowing people that would benefit, this is a really worthwhile thing to participate in for many, many of our young people. So I'll be back. I just want to take a brief break and give you some notes from our sponsors and a few plugs here. And please think of using the sponsors, participating. Let them know that you're listening to Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And, you know, we're trying to keep business in Hunterdon County. It's really important. This is a great place to live, a great place to do business, and we need to let all of our business owners know that.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Aversa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, hunterdonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, the real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Well, we're back. The program, It's the Law. I'm your host, Pat Smits, and I want to remind people, and this is going to be an important program. My guest next week is Dave Watts, and Dave will be speaking about identity theft, and he has a wealth of knowledge. He's been a private investigator, a police officer, and a number of things over his lengthy career, and he's also going to tell us about his new book. But in any event, please, you know, think about tuning in and downloading the broadcast, because he has a lot of exceptionally helpful tips. And anyone who's ever had identity theft can realize it's a nightmare that doesn't seem to ever end. So Dave Watts is my guest next week, and he'll be here for the entire program. And hopefully I'll have him back another time. So what's happening this week in news? I mean, it's the end of the summer. Last Friday in August. Can we believe that? No, but that's the case. So there are usually not a lot of published opinions at the end of the summer. However, there are certainly some news, and news that any of you legal news geeks are interested in. I have some of that today, and I'll talk to you about it. So first of all, a New Jersey judge has blocked the state's attempt to force a local government to forfeit more than $10 million in affordable housing funds the township set aside, citing a state agency's abject failure to adopt rules for building new and low low and moderate income housing. So we'll have more on that story, I'm sure. And there's another case that was approved for publication as far as the law division, and that was the opinion in Jacinto versus LaPenta addressed the factors to be considered by the court in setting a reasonable fee for an expert for attending a discovery deposition. And this opinion is of particular significance because it addresses two issues that often arise during civil litigation, and that is whether an expert can charge a flat fee for attending the deposition, and secondly, how does a court calculate a reasonable hourly rate for an expert attending a deposition? So the opinion, and this is going to be an opinion that lawyers certainly are looking at, offers an analysis of a number of federal opinions interpreting a federal rule that contains language similar to the New Jersey rule. In other words, our rules of practice, as I've talked about in this program, we have evidence rules and we have practice rules. And this practice rule is under Rule 4:10-2, paren D, end paren. And it also addresses whether an expert can charge a flat fee for attending a discovery deposition. Now, the only reported New Jersey opinion that I've found that addresses a reasonable fee or an hourly fee for an expert attending a discovery deposition is a law division case from 1985. And that opinion, of course, was published almost 30 years ago and is a trial-level opinion. And the opinion did not address the propriety of an expert charging a flat fee for attending a discovery deposition. And so that it also did not address how to set a reasonable fee, but holds that a reasonably hourly fee for a pediatric neurologist is $250 per hour. So the this prior opinion, the brevity of it, renders it of limited utility to a trial judge when setting a fee for an expert's discovery deposition. So the court simply determined what it viewed to be reasonable and a reasonable hourly rate without providing any description of the reasoning the court should employ in order to determine whether the fee charged by the expert is reasonable. So that is a published opinion, and it will certainly be used in the future. So another, and this was just proof of publication yesterday. So what else is happening? Well, there's there was also a proof of publication, a family law or immigration case, and that was... Actually, that case was the Supreme Court actually rendered the decision in this case, and it should be, well, there are a couple cases here, and one that the immigration case was issued, decided, and it was decided, or the opinion was written by Judge Cuff. And she is temporarily assigned to the Supreme Court. And the opinion was written for an unanimous court. So in that opinion, there were more than one appeal. But in the appeals in that that the court looked at, the Supreme Court examined the role of New Jersey state courts pursuant to a federal statute and its implementing regulations. So in making the predicate findings necessary for a non-citizen child to apply for a special immigrant juvenile status, and that's referred to as an SIJ status, and it's a form of immigration relief permitting alien children to obtain lawful permanent residency in the United States and eventually citizenship under the Immigration Act of 1990. So what this act, whether you approve it or not, what we have in this country are millions of children who were born elsewhere but came here as infants or toddlers or very young children, and this is the only country that they've ever known as their home. So that these present unique situations of innocent children who find themselves because they're not, or found themselves because they're not citizens and were not born here, because that's the way you have to become a citizen, or you are a citizen if you're born in the United States. You know, Donald Trump, as we know, wants to change that, but that's a constitutional right. If you're born in the United States, you are a citizen by birth. And in fact, there's some other, interesting things about that. If you happen to be a United States citizen who has a child born overseas, and that, in fact, is my situation. One of our children was born in Guatemala, so in fact, she has dual citizenship. But in any event, in this case, what was important is one of the litigants was born in India in 1994 and entered the United States without proper documentation in July 2011. And in India, he resided with his mother after the family was abandoned by his father when he was 4 years old. Now, when he was 15, his mother became ill and could no longer work. And so he took a job as a construction working at 15, approximately 75 hours a week, and developed a skin condition and back problems. Now, fearing that he would die if he remained in India, his mother arranged for him to travel to the United States to live with her brother. And that her brother ended up being the petitioner in this case. And since arriving in the United States, the boy has remained in close contact with his mother via weekly phone calls. So that what happened then is his uncle filed a petition in the family part, requested he be granted custody, and asked the court to issue an order pursuant to the federal statute and its implementing regulations to find that his nephew met the statutory requirements to be a special immigrant juvenile. So in this case, we did not have a child who came here when he was very young. By the time he came here, he was, older. But that is still was the way that they made this application. And what happened is the uncle asked that under the statute the court find that reunification with one or both of his parents was not viable due to abuse, neglect, or abandonment, and that returning him to India would not be in his best interests, and wanted him to be allowed to stay in the United States and then apply for U.S. citizenship under the SIJ status, the Special Immigrant Juvenile Status. Now, the appellate court, well, first of all, the trial court. Of course, we always have to go through the trial court, but the trial court awarded temporary custody to the uncle, but did not find that either of the boy's parents had willfully abandoned him and consequently did not reach the question of his best interests. The uncle appealed and the appellate division panel affirmed, and the panel agreed that the boy was not abandoned or neglected by his mother, because although permitting a child to be employed in a dangerous activity constitutes abuse under New Jersey law, it did not contravene the laws of India. So remember, this was a boy who at 15 took this construction job working about 75 hours a week. In this country, that would not be permitted, but it did not contravene the laws of India. So the panel also, meaning the appellate panel, also affirmed the trial court's refusal to make a best interest finding. Now, the Supreme Court, based on the trial court's denial and the appellate division's affirmance of the trial court, the uncle petitioned for certification to the New Jersey Supreme Court. So that was one of the cases. The other case There were two children, biological daughters, born in 1998 and 2001, and their mother and their father were natives of El Salvador. And after separating in 2008, the mother came to the United States. And although she remained in near daily contact with her daughters and sent money for their support, she was here and they were in El Salvador. And she was murdered, meaning the mother was murdered in 2013, and the children were cared for by their grandmother. And this is a situation where the mother believed they may have been physically abused, they may have been physically abused. But in any event, shortly after, and I'm sorry, it wasn't their mother who died, it was their father who died. So shortly after their father's death, a threat was made on his mother's life, the grandmother's life, as well as the lives of the girls. So at that point, the mother, who had come to the United States in 2008, arranged for her daughters to come to the United States. But they were apprehended by immigration enforcement agents when crossing at the United States-Mexican border. As a result of that, removal proceedings commenced, although the girls ultimately went to live with their mother in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And then in March of 2014, the mother filed a complaint in the family part seeking custody of her daughters and requesting the court to make predicate findings to permit them to apply for special immigrant juvenile status. So the court in that case granted the application for custody. It also found that reunification with the father was not viable because he was deceased. And the court also found that it was not in the children's best interest to return to El Salvador because no family member could care for them there. However, the court determined that reunification with their mother was viable and that there was no basis under state law to suggest that she had abused, neglected, or abandoned them. So based on that determination and in reliance of the appellate division's decision in HSP, the other case up on cert to the Supreme Court, the court denied the children's application for special immigrant status. And so that at the time that this second case was decided, the appellate division had decided the first case, the HSP case. So what happened when we went up to the Supreme Court? These cases, they went up to the Supreme Court. The court granted certification. And what the Supreme Court held is that when faced with a request for an SIJ predicate order, that's a special immigrant juvenile SIJ status order, excuse me, not SJS, SIJ predicate order, the family part, that's the trial court, the sole task is to apply New Jersey law to make factual findings with regard to each of the requirements listed in the implementing regulation. That's the federal implementing regulation. The family part, the Supreme Court found that the family part does not have jurisdiction to grant or deny applications for immigration relief. And so that is an important distinction. The court can, in fact, make findings with respect to each of the requirements. However, the court cannot grant or deny applications for immigration relief, and that's because that is strictly federal. So, that is a case that anyone... certainly anyone who is in this country and is looking to see if they might qualify under the special circumstances of that statute, the federal statute, then they really need to look very carefully at this case. And there's anyone who is in the group known as the M18, a transitional or transnational. One of the reasons from El Salvador is that people make that application because of a transnational criminal organization that's considered a major threat to public security in El Salvador. And this is certainly the case of many children coming to the United States from Guatemala. They are seeking to escape some of the horrors that had been going on in that country. And I know many of them were denied, adults were denied. And that's a whole nother story. But in any event, in this case, anybody who's interested in special immigrant juvenile status certainly needs to look at this case, and it needs to be explained to people before they spend a lot of money trying to use the state courts to justify and get the exception under the special immigrant juvenile status, because no state court can grant that. All the state courts can do is make factual findings with regard to each of the requirements that are listed in the implementing regulation. And that implementing regulation is found at 8 CFR section 204-11. So we'll be back to talk more of the recent decisions and news after a short break.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, we're back, and it's Pat Smits, and I'm talking about some of the cases that have come out, recently published cases. The last one was from the Supreme Court. And there's another case that, an opinion by the Supreme Court, and this was, again, it was, this is a case, and it's a criminal case, State versus Thomas Shannon. And so what is the importance of this? Well, hopefully there won't be many people who need this, but this is an opinion from Justice LaVecchia, or actually Justice LaVecchia did the concurring opinion, excuse me. So this was a per curiam opinion, meaning that no one took, there's no one justice that takes credit for writing this opinion. But in any event, what it was is the Supreme Court considered whether evidence seized after a defendant's arrest and when the arrest was made in the absence of a valid warrant or probable cause, whether it's subject to exclusion without application of an exception based on the subjective good faith of the executing officers. So this is a case where the officers who relied upon an arrest warrant that had been judicially vacated but had not been removed from the computer database showing active warrants. So what happens is when a warrant is issued, the information goes into a database that all police officers have an opportunity to review. So what happened in this case is a municipal court judge issued a warrant for the defendant's arrest for non-payment of fines owed in connection with a criminal conviction and a motor vehicle violation. So the defendant learned of the warrant and wrote to the municipal court requesting that the fines be vacated based on hardship. Now, thereafter, the municipal court judge granted the defendant's request. So there were no outstanding warrants at that point. And when a judge vacates a fine, the disposition is entered in the relevant database, and the outstanding warrant in that database is also vacated. So, however, municipal court employees, not the police department, are responsible for entering the information. And separate computer databases are used for traffic violations and criminal matters. Now, in this case, a deputy municipal court administrator properly vacated the fines in the traffic system, but failed to vacate the fines in the criminal matter. So as a result, the criminal complaint database did not reflect the fact that the fines were vacated. And as a result, of course, the arrest warrant associated with those fines was not vacated. So what happened then is a dispatcher directed a police officer to a street, an Asbury Park police officer, to investigate a report of a suspicious vehicle parked in front of the residence. So at the point when the officer investigated, he found the defendant sitting in a vehicle meeting the reported description. And the defendant explained that he was waiting for a friend in a nearby house. So the officer asked the dispatch to run a warrant check. And when that was done, the dispatch advised the officer that the defendant had an outstanding warrant for arrest. So based on that, the police officer placed the defendant under arrest. He brought him to the police station in his patrol car. Now, during the trip, the police officer noticed that the defendant was moving around in the back seat. And after he was removed from the vehicle, the officer noticed suspected codeine on the back seat and white residue on the defendant's fingers. So the officer found additional suspected controlled dangerous substances under the bench seat in the back of the car. And these substances that were all found in the vehicle were seized as evidence. Now, none of the officers involved in the case were aware that the warrant on which the defendant was arrested had been vacated. So that's the situation. They arrested this man assuming that there was a valid warrant for his arrest. It turns out that the warrant was no longer a warrant. There was no a warrant. So when they found things after they arrested him on this invalid warrant, they found evidence that would lead to his conviction. And in fact, he was convicted of third-degree possession of a controlled dangerous substance with a second-degree possession of CDS with intent to distribute. So this all came about because then, of course, the defendant moved to suppress the evidence seized from the police vehicle and some other things. But that's what's important. So what happened here is then the appellate division granted the state's motion for leave to appeal, and the appellate division affirmed the trial court's suppression of the evidence. And thereafter, the Supreme Court granted, actually in this case, the Supreme Court granted the state's motion for leave to appeal. And that was after the appellate division granted the state's motion for leave to appeal and also affirmed the trial court's suppression of evidence. So the trial court found that the defendant was arrested unlawfully and the drugs seized from the vehicle were inadmissible. So if there's a lawful warrant and something is seized, then it can be used. But in this case, because the warrant was not lawful, what was taken out of the car could not be used. It was inadmissible. And, of course, what attorneys are always looking for, except maybe the attorneys who represent the bad guys, but in any event, they need to know whether or not whatever was found, were they part of, was a warrant legal? Were there circumstances that would allow a police officer to do an arrest without a warrant, warrantless search? But in this case, the appellate division granted the state's motion for leave to appeal and affirmed the trial court's suppression of the evidence, and the Supreme Court granted the state's motion for leave to appeal. So what happened at the Supreme Court level is the judgment of the appellate division is affirmed by the court. It was an equally divided court. So the arresting, and that means if the court is equally divided, if in fact there are only six justices sitting and making the decision, and it's 3-3, then whatever the appellate division decided is the law of the case. So in this case, the arresting officer's good faith belief that a valid warrant for defendant's arrest was outstanding cannot render an arrest made in absence of a valid warrant or probable cause constitutionally compliant. So that was the situation. There was a 3-3. It was a 3-3 decision, and Justice LaVecchia concurred, joined by Justice Albin and Chief Justice Rabner. And they expressed the view that an officer's subjective good faith belief that a valid warrant was outstanding cannot render an arrest made without a valid warrant or probable cause constitutionally compliant. So Justice LaVecchia stated that to hold otherwise would be akin to adopting the good faith exception to the exclusionary rule that has been explicitly and consistently rejected by the court in State versus Noviembrero. This is actually Novemberino, and subsequent cases. And the prior case, the Supreme Court reasoned that the exclusionary rule function not only as a deterrent for police misconduct, but also as an indispensable mechanism for vindicating the constitutional right to be free from unreasonable search. So that's the reason why we're so careful about searches. It's the constitutional right that in this country, police officers can't just come up and decide to frisk you or search you or search your house or search your car. So Justice LaVecchia stated that in this matter, which as we know involves an unconstitutional seizure from a man, meaning unconstitutional taking, he didn't have a seizure, but this was unconstitutional because he had secured relief 18 months earlier that the outstanding arrest warrants were dealt with. So Justice Solomon dissented and was joined by Justice Patterson and Justice Fernandez Vina. And his reasoning would be that he would decline to apply the exclusionary rule to evidence seized after defendant's arrest. And Justice Solomon states that the exclusionary rule should not be applied, whereas here law enforcement personnel share no responsibility for the error giving rise to the unlawful search or seizure. And the officer's reliance on the warrant is found to be objectionably, it was objectively reasonable because he thought that it was a valid warrant. So Justice Solomon concluded that the application of the exclusionary rule under these circumstances divorces the rule from its primary purpose, and that primary purpose is to deter future police misconduct and ignores the significant costs of suspending and suppressing competent evidence. So Justice Solomon would therefore reverse the judgment of the appellate division and allow the evidence to be used and not suppressed. So I think we're just about out of time. There are many other things that have been happening, but those are the main cases. There is also a civil rights and torts case where the plaintiff appealed from a grant of summary judgment dismissing his action, and his action asserted claims for violation of his 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendment rights. So that was also done this week. And there's other news. There's apparently loosening of strictures in the use of law firm trade names in New Jersey that might be of some value to small firms and sole practitioners. The Third Circuit has once again struck down New Jersey's sport betting law, finding the state's attempt to legalize sports betting through simply, that's what they were doing. They can do it simply by repealing the ban on it. So anyway, that hasn't happened. So the law firm in New Jersey that has been hired by by New Jersey governor, not judge, Chris Christie, they're asking a federal judge to reject a demand by two of Mr. Christie's former aides to turn over metadata related to the internal investigation. So I think that pretty much wraps us for today. And next week, as I said, I will be back. And my guest will be Dave Watts. Please tune in. It should be a very interesting program, not just dully talking about case law as I have done for the past few weeks. So we'll be back with the sports guys after a couple commercials and the news.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we